Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome. It's 4:08. Jordana and Paul coming at you a little late today because the governor and the Minnesota Department of Health had their COVID-19 press conference, and it was a big one today, Paul. We have a lot to cover.
A lot of details, right? The devil is in the details, and everybody wants to know how it's going to affect them.
So the governor covered a lot of territory, and I will quickly break it down for you. But then there are some things we want to break out. You know, the governor talked about the nurses and the PPE. And at the very end, Paul, he got into this fact that there were supplies supposed to be coming to Minnesota that somehow got lifted, picked off, basically, he says, by the federal government on the way to Minnesota, that there were tests capable of testing thousands of people that were diverted to the federal government. So we're just learning that. So we are going to be following that more and learning about that. But this is the basics. June 1st, open outdoor seating at restaurants, 6 feet between tables, no more than 50 people in the outdoor setting. And I'm glad Laura made the distinction in the news that if you have a family of six, you are allowed to sit together. You don't have to separate the family. You don't have to leave your teenager home. You can all sit together. And I even imagine maybe if you have five kids and a mom and a dad, maybe they would let you squeeze one in. Nobody is here to separate families. We do not separate families here in Minnesota. So at least six people can sit together if you're in the same family. Of course, they are encouraging restaurants to create makeshift outdoor spaces. And I know there's going to be a lot of restaurants that say, what about me? What about me? We don't have that space. They even said at the press conference, Steve Grove said, we are encouraging municipalities to work with restaurants to be able to create a curbside space. So no one is left out. No one is left without income. They want everybody to be flexible. These rules are not hard and fast. These are recommendations. These are guidelines. But they want the municipalities to work with the restaurants. June 1st, barbers, salons, and tattoo parlors. Yes, you can have an inside capacity of 25% of your fire code. Masks are required for patrons and workers. Masks are also required for restaurant workers and are encouraged for patrons. And of course, they have to take their mask off to eat, which is, yes, that's going to happen. Boating and camping, boats and campgrounds within social distance policies are up and running. You can check the DNR website. Again, normal social distancing rules in common areas, 6 feet apart. At church, still gatherings of 10 or less. If you can telework, you must. Retail is still at 50% capacity. Let's see. Moving forward, there's going to be a phase two, a phase three, and a phase four that he outlined as well. But I'm talking too much, Paul. I want to hear your reaction to this press conference.
Well, look, he made, again, a lot of details. The governor made it clear that the cases in Minnesota not forecast to peak until July and August. So at the same time, you know, the cases are going up. We're making these changes. But it sounds like he's reserving the right to go back to that dial and either dial it down or dial it up based on what's happening on the ground, facts on the ground. I noticed, and a lot of people are concerned about this, in churches, there's still a limit, right, Jor, of 10 people.
There is.
10 people.
There's still, right now, there is a limit of 10 people. But they say in phase three, they're going to have a max total of outdoor of 100 people. So they want, and also if you're one of those churches that has a big parking lot or you can be in an open field with cars, he said churches have gotten very creative and very clever and they want people to worship. So that is allowed if you're in your cars, of course, even now. And what was interesting is that he said with the churches, they need to limit singing.
Right.
And I understand that's how a lot of churches and synagogues, that's how people worship. They're singing. But with singing, there's spit, there is airborne particles. So that is going to be a change to many services when they resume.
a lot of choirs practiced social distancing, and a lot of people still got sick. What's interesting to me, since the governor has spoken on Twitter, Senate GOP leader Paul Gazelka said, I'm dumbfounded why the governor would treat churches this way. I hope the federal courts will intervene. I'm growing more concerned. There's a targeted effort to keep churches closed and keep people away from their houses of worship for no good reason. This, according to Senate GOP leader Paul Gazelka in the last few minutes. So it's contentious. It's going to become even more contentious. A reminder, we're going to talk with Jason Lewis at 5:05 to talk about why he is launching a lawsuit against Governor Walz. So we got plenty to talk about. Also, unemployment. We're going to talk to an expert about unemployment and whether or not you can be forced to go back to work. That's next.
So much to get to. Jordana and Paul, thank you for spending time with us. And by the way, the phone lines will be open in about 10 minutes. We want to take your reaction to the governor's press conference. Sort of download. How will this affect you? What will change? What will not? So the phone lines are going to be open in about 10 minutes. But what we do know is that people are going back to work. We know that retail opened on Monday. Restaurants are opening today. So the discussion is, what happens if you get sick on the job? Our next guest, attorney Dean Salida, he's chair of the Minnesota Association for Justice, is joining us to talk about a bill that he just helped pass that says if frontline workers get COVID on the job, they are covered no matter what. It seems strange that they weren't covered by things in the past, but Dean's here to talk about the bill and your rights as an employee going back to work. Dean Salida, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jordana. I appreciate you having me on.
So, Dean, tell us briefly about the bill that you recently helped pass for our first-line workers.
Well, it was a bill that was bipartisan in nature by the time it was done. And what's going on is, under the workers' compensation statute in Minnesota, there are presumptions that certain people get coverage for workers' compensation, meaning they don't have to prove that it's necessarily work comp. The burden doesn't fall on them. The burden would fall on the employer and insurer to disprove it. And that's been around for a long time with firefighters and police officers and different types of cancers or cardiac issues, because obviously the nature of their job, they put themselves in harm's way. Well, when COVID popped up across the country, there was a big question as to, boy, oh boy, we're putting, as we keep hearing, there are heroes, our first responders, and people in harm's way immediately. And are they going to want to go to work? What happens if they go to work? Do you want, you know, as a public, we want firefighters coming to our house even during a pandemic. And we want police officers to do their jobs and nurses to their jobs. I'm not even, you just went through 20 minutes of the governor talking about PPE and who's got it and the federal government giving it, who's got it. That's what's important. And to the people on the front line, they needed to know that they were covered because they were in the course and scope of employment. So this bill that was passed by many of the unions and by the chamber that was brought up, and you can read about it, basically amended the workers' compensation law to make many frontline individuals, and it's listed, you can find it, there's a whole list of people that were not just police officers and firefighters, but they actually went beyond to healthcare providers, nurses, assistive employees, people responding to childcare issues, home health care, to make sure that those people taking care of grandma and grandpa and people that are going in had workers' compensation coverage. And it was agreed upon that you did not have to have an actual test. You had to have, if you have a test, because at that point, you know, a month, month and a half ago, we didn't know who was getting tested and who wasn't, that the people in harm's way, if they got a report and they were in one of these individuals, they are covered. And they have workers' compensation benefits that need to be disproven by the employer if they could be. And this covered, the bill covered about 150 to 175 of our heroes that are working in harm's way for all of us all the time. So that's what the bill was. And what's interesting is people, when this passed and, you know, caught the news, people said, you know, well, most people weren't back at work. Does this cover me? Everybody else, Paul and Jordana, has a right to bring a workers' compensation claim but they have to prove that they got it in the course and scope of their employment. That's a different thing. The burden of proof would go to somebody, and obviously, as Minnesota and the country returns back to work now, people are going back to work, and they're going to be exposed, whether we like that or not. So the question is, do they have a claim? And yes, they have a right to a claim, but the question is going to be, can they prove that work was a direct factor in it? Does that make sense?
Dean, it does. There's so much hair on this thing. It's hard to keep it all straight. Governor Walz had basically four orders. When he loosened some of the restrictions, the other orders included the fact that employers cannot discriminate or retaliate against workers who are concerned about COVID-19, and workers can refuse to work in unsafe conditions. My assumption is that the onus, the burden, is on workers to prove that they don't have safe conditions back in the office. Is that correct? What has to happen if a worker is scared to go back to work for whatever reason? How is a worker supposed to put, you know, food on the table and pay bills and get paid if they're worried about going back to work because of the virus?
It's a good question, Paul, and it's very difficult. The difference between a worker's compensation claim of going back to work and getting it, and obviously the employers and the governors put this out there. Our law firm has reopened a little bit this week on about a third basis, and we had to have a plan. We have to have sanitizer. You have to wipe down. We're wearing masks. We're limiting physically where we are. There has to be a plan to get back to work. And this is where it falls on both parties, Paul and Jordana. Obviously, there are reasonable expectations to go back to work. So if the employer has done what they can and put forth what they can, and they offer work back, the employee is supposed to try to go back to work. And that's just not in a work comp setting, that's in a general setting. Where it gets to be a bigger issue is somebody's afraid, or like you said, somebody has diabetes, or somebody at an age where returning to work may do it. Do they have to go back to work? Well, the answer to that, unfortunately, welcome to the world of law, is it depends. But they should go to their doctor, and they should, you know, if the doctor is going to pull them from work saying this is too much of a risk, the employee has to have some background to doing this and not just say, I'm afraid I can't go back to work. So we're about to see as states start to open up how this is and how people return.
And unfortunately, Dean, there's not really any hard and fast rules on this because it's constantly evolving. And in fact, Paul, you're going to talk with Steve Grove tomorrow, and I know you're going to ask him questions about compensation, right, or unemployment if an employee, mm-hmm, doesn't want to go back to work, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I have a lot of owners, business owners, who can't get workers to come, yeah, back because they're making more money on unemployment than they did when they were, you know, at work. So,
well, that's to answer your question, though, Paul, and I think you should talk to him about this tomorrow. If work is offered and the employer and insurer make it safe and follow the guidelines, the burden may be on the employee to return to work unless they have a reason not to. That's the, mm-hmm, same thing as a workers' compensation case. If you have restrictions on you, there has to be an attempt to return to work within those restrictions. And that's why these two can overlap on some level.
Dean Salita, okay, attorney and chair of the Minnesota Association for Justice. Dean, we're so happy to have you on the show, and thank you for your expertise.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You, thank you, Dean. Very interesting.
We'll be looking forward to your conversation tomorrow with Steve also, because there's a lot of questions.
Absolutely. And we have questions for you. Are you going to hit your favorite restaurant, assuming you can eat outside? 651-989-9226. What do you think about the latest turn of the dial from the governor? That's next.
Welcome back, Jordana and Paul. Boy, we are wanting to hear your reaction to the governor's press conference about what can open when, the phase two, phase three, phase four. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. In fact, State Representative Dave Baker is joining us. He lives in Willmar. Represents his district there, and you are also heavily involved in the restaurant industry. Representative Baker, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Jordana. I own a hospitality company with my wife, Mary. We just sold our last restaurant in January, if you can believe it, but I am very close to many restaurant operators, and I completely feel their pain, and I'm so disappointed with today's announcement and what it's what it's doing to the restaurant industry is beyond belief. Thanks for taking my call. And
well, tell us about your disappointment. What are you disappointed in, and what would you have liked to see instead?
You know, again, as the goalposts keep getting moved back from May 4th, May 18th, June 1st, now it's just outdoor seating up to 50 people. And, you know, in Minnesota, we get high winds and rain, so that you've got to shut down outside. And I run a restaurant with large decks outdoors, and our staff is very, very disappointed when they get geared up for a good day and they get cut because it's raining or it's high winds. Or the mosquito hatch just came out, and you cannot literally sit outside. So what he did today was not only take it away from the controlled environment inside at maybe a 50% occupancy that staff can count on, but now he wants to put it outside a max of 50 people, which is only 10 to 12 tables. He's just not digging in deep enough to talk to the operators that literally do this for a living. He has this roundtable conversation with folks in the industry. He pretends to use the associations and them as listening items, but they just had a meeting yesterday for a total of 30 minutes. This outdoor thing hardly even came up. So to the industry, this is a real, where did this come from? And with the 50 limit and all these things, it makes it even harder to even try to open on June 1st with, how do you want to call a staff back off of unemployment and say, hey, we're going to open our deck up, Susie, and we'll call you in. We're going to be ready to go. And half of the days, Susie will get called off because it's not suitable for outdoor dining. So you need to have that option of going inside. So today was just a big letdown again. I don't know how our operators are going to maintain this much beyond June 1st. If he keeps changing this thing without really listening to the operators, he can't listen to the folks that are in TV land and celebrity chefs, and they're important to hear, but he's also got to listen to the little mom and pops and folks in greater Minnesota that have been telling me, we just want to be heard. And I don't think that that's happening. And then one of his quotes today too, honestly, we're working with legislators. No, he's not. And let me be clear about that. We want to be their part to help him make these decisions, but we are not included at the table. As an operator of a restaurant, I have shared with Commissioner Grove, please invite me to have these conversations more deeply, but hasn't happened. And so it's he's not entirely truthful about involving us in these decisions.
Representative, since we have you on the line, I'm curious. I absolutely sympathize with restaurateurs and employees and staff. I get that, and my heart goes out to them. I also listen to the epidemiologists who say the risk of catching this thing is a function of proximity and duration. If you're just walking past somebody with a virus, you're probably not going to catch it. If you're sitting a few feet away from somebody for an extended period of time, the risk level goes straight up. Significantly. Do you think that the threat is being overblown? You don't worry about people catching this thing when they go to and eat indoors?
You know, Paul, my belief is nothing we are going to do are going to stop the spread. As hard as we are trying, we cannot stop this. But what we can do is manage it. We can manage it, and I think Minnesotans have done a terrific job in pushing this curve down. But as Minnesota comes with our 108 days of summer, and if we can't function here, we are going to be a devastated state financially if we don't get these things moving. Sure, if he's concerned about those things, there's people waiting in lines in Walmarts and candy stores right now that are talking to each other for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time. They're closely interacting. I don't see any pullbacks in those areas, but yet he's saying it's okay to do salons and barbers, which I'm very happy about. That 25% isn't what I was hoping. I was hoping for at least 50. But it's okay for them to be inside for an hour at a time, but not in a restaurant for an hour at a time. It doesn't match up. And so I don't know why this industry seems to be the one that keeps getting pushed back. And I think it's also the one that people want open the most. But I tell you,
I think it has to do with the fact that there's food service and there's saliva and there's liquids and there's, you know, people are in close proximity and you have to remove your mask at some point to eat. Mm-hmm. So I think that it has to do with the greater risk of transmission when you are dealing with food and saliva and talking in close proximity. You know, you could go get a haircut, everybody can wear a mask, and you never have to speak. So I think that when you dig into the science of how it is transmitted, I imagine that, I'm not the governor, but I imagine that it was science-based and transmitted, you know, transmission-based on how he made those kind of
decisions. And I understand that, but again, we are not going to be able to completely stop this, and we've got to start getting this industry up and running at some degree. This is just not a good day for them.
Okay. State Representative Dave Baker from Willmar, thanks for calling in, sir. We wish you the best.
651-989-9226 is our number. We are taking your calls. Let's sneak one in before the break, but after the break, more calls. Bill has been waiting in Brooklyn Park. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. I'm super disappointed in the whole thing. First of all, when this began, the first 4 weeks, I understood because nobody's prepared. It's been 2 months. We should be prepared for the most part. And when we're closing, 82% of the deaths are in elderly homes. The other 18%, I'm assuming, because you don't get that information, it's not readily available, are probably elderly or people with underlying health care. Last time I did the statistics, it was 1% of everybody that was outside of elderly care homes. But if you go with pre-existing conditions and over 65, that number is probably less than 0.5%. There's nothing 100% in life. To the general public, it's less than about 0.5% of the possibility of death. So it's time to open it up. Obviously, be careful. He's destroying the economy. People still got to live. Our kids were bottled up. It's just never ending. I mean, he comes up with these. Why in the heck didn't he start with the elderly care focusing until last week? That is ridiculous.
That's obviously Bill in Brooklyn Park. Bill, I think we've been focusing on the elder care for a long time. Those elderly homes have been shut down for quite some time, and those people have been in quarantine for quite some time. Bill, we appreciate the call. Jim, we see you. Gregory, we see you. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. We'll take more of your calls here on News Talk 830 WCCO next.
Thanks for hanging in there with us. Again, Jason Lewis joins us at 5:05. Stick around for that. Dave Schultz, constitutional lawyer, will join us at 5:20. So that should be interesting. Look, we hear a lot about the word essential these days, and it's a word that has taken on a whole new meaning. Products we once took for granted, soup, soap, disinfectants, are now essential. The reality is that right now millions of Americans do not have the essential things they so desperately need. So Unilever is donating products like Dove and Hellmann's to Feeding America and Direct Relief. It's part of Unilever's National Day of Service on May 21st, and they invite you to join them. Get involved at weareunitedforamerica.com.
Thank you, sir. Get involved. It's always good to help. You didn't think about soap before, but you're thinking about it now.
You bet.
So the governor has new rules. June 1st, outdoor settings at restaurants, 6 feet between tables, no more than 50 at an outdoor setting. You can sit together if you are a family of six. Don't worry. They encourage restaurants to make outdoor spaces if they don't have them. The new rules I have just tweeted out from the state in a very nice, succinct little chart. Follow me at Jordana WCCO. You can see the entire chart. What's open? What's closed? When is it opening? How many? Very, very comprehensive chart. We're taking your calls. 651-989-9226. We're taking your reaction to the governor's rules. So far, we've had two people, including one state representative, who are disappointed, who were hoping to have indoor seating and more people allowed in restaurants. What do you think? Gregory in Woodbury has been waiting on the line. Thank you, sir. I'm glad you got in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Greg.
I'm very disappointed. I think the governor is on a power trip. I think he likes to have control of things. I have friends who are in the restaurant business who are hurting mental health-wise just because of the change in their life. And some are losing their business that's been in the family forever. So right now I'm in Hudson, Wisconsin, and having a beer and a burger. There's every plate here is a Minnesota plate. There's people walking around laughing, having fun. And so I don't know.
Okay. Greg, thanks for the call.
All right.
Sharon's in Coon Rapids.
Greg.
Hi, Sharon.
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
There?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yep. Go right ahead.
Well, this is ridiculous. He's picking and choosing, and I'm going to tell you, for all the praising he gives on how wonderful Minnesotans are, they're also very smart. They can pick and choose if they want to go to the restaurant. They can pick and choose if they're going to go to church. The church I go to has a lot of elderly people. I know many of them will stay home. I also work for an assisted living, and I know they're concerned about how this is targeting the healthcare facilities like that. And I'm going to tell you that most of those people, if you went back and looked in their records, they were DNR, DNI. The slightest little thing was probably going to kill them, and now it's labeled as a COVID death. We have only one person in our facility that has died, and he was already on hospice. He did get COVID but had no symptoms. We just tested him. None of the rest of our people have died. They've all been taken to Mercy Hospital, which, if anybody's listening from Mercy, you're doing an awesome job. And they've been quite sick, on ventilators, but they're getting better and they're coming back. So, yeah, 99% of these people are living. And if you're going to tell us that we're so wonderful and compliant and smart, then let us make the choice whether we go to those restaurants or not. But opening something up 50%, keep it closed. They can't afford to operate at 50%. They just can't.
Sharon, okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Sharon. Lori in Bloomington. Lori, what do you think of the governor's announcement today?
I was very frustrated listening. I am a stylist, and we knew that there was a chance there was going to be some pretty hard stipulations, but I have gym friends that own gyms. I have people, friends in the restaurant business. The 25% for personal services, we're a big salon. We had the perfect 50% ratio to be safe and not come close to anyone, and now we have to completely change everything again. And I'm beyond frustrated.
Lori, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're frustrated. Thank you for the call. We appreciate you.
Thank
Garrett's
you.
In Bloomington. I'll try to get you in here. Hi, Garrett.
Hey, Garrett.
Hey. So I'm excited that things are starting to open up, like restaurants and salons, and but I'm kind of worried that it might get worse before it gets better. So,
yeah.
I mean, we haven't even hit the peak yet. So right. That's the thing.
Thanks for the call. And I think that's important to note, Paul, that the governor did say we haven't reached our peak yet. You know, right. We've done such a good job of flattening the curve because Minnesotans are compliant and they care about each other and they did stay away. So that is still to come.
Jason Lewis, why is he suing the governor? He's up next.